Now, this is what would normally happen because we do our feature interview thanks to Ryko Filters. Ask Mechanic for Ryko Filters, the professional's choice. And, you know, I always like to give a nice, big, booming intro to our guest because this guest, if anyone deserves a really, really good intro, it is our guest for the show this evening. But unfortunately, I can't do that because Channel 7 own all the rights to the Olympics footage. And we could get into a lot of trouble by playing it. So without further ado, please welcome our guest to the driver's seat. You might have seen him absolutely dominate in the BMX freestyle in Tokyo 2020. Welcome to the driver's seat, the one and only Logan Martin.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hey Logan, so we understand you are still in quarantine up in Darwin. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm just over halfway through. So,
how are you coping with that?
Yeah, I mean, not too bad. I mean, the days are super long, but when you sort of look back, like it's already been over a week. It's gone fairly quick, I suppose. So, just getting through it day by day.
I mean, it's Matt McElden, mate, and congratulations on your efforts on behalf of all of Australia. You did an incredible job, but it's got to be half a weird feeling to go from the highs of, and all the media and the highs of reaching the pinnacle of your sport and doing all that kind of stuff, and then one bedroom, one toilet room for the next 2 weeks, pal. Yeah. That's what you get. What a come down.
Honestly, it is pretty crazy. Obviously coming off such a high and then just literally sitting in a room by myself for 2 weeks. So it's definitely, definitely very unfortunate. Definitely a strange sort of concept. It felt real coming in here, that I had won an Olympic gold medal. And then after a week, it's sort of like, just doesn't, it almost feels like it hasn't sunk in again, I suppose. But then when I get out of here, I'm sure it will. But yeah, it's very, very unfortunate that we have to come back to quarantine.
And even worse, on the way home on Japan Airlines, you weren't even allowed to have a beer because who was it? Was the footy team or the rowing team killed that for you with their barrage of alcohol beverages on the way home?
Yeah, well, I think I was actually on the flight before them, maybe. But I mean, I didn't hear too much about it. But obviously I heard something went on. I wasn't on the flight, so I'm all good.
I want to ask you a question. You know, we've talked about, obviously this is a motorsport show, but and to sort of give some context to this discussion, you know, you've got a really good connection with Stevie J. That's why we're privileged to have you on the show today.
Well, he does, and he lives near me.
he lives near you, but there's a connection there. One thing we've noticed with our sport over the last 12 to 18 months is the incredible difference a crowd makes. You know, when we see some of the sport that's going on in America with the IndyCars now and some of the Formula One stuff, it just adds that real missing piece to the puzzle. How did you find that in Japan? Like, an amazing result, obviously, for you, but did it feel weird not having thousands and thousands of people going absolutely bunter in the grandstands at your efforts?
It definitely creates for a better vibe, more atmosphere when there's a pumping crowd. I was over in France in at the start of June, where we also didn't have a crowd, and I won an event there. So it's not necessarily the crowd that makes me perform. I'm so focused in, and the crowd is just outside noise. So going into Tokyo, I was aware there was not going to be a crowd, but I also knew that I've performed in front of no crowds before as well. It does definitely make for a better atmosphere, but it wasn't. It's not really my focus when I'm actually zoned in.
Hey, mate, so obviously they alluded to it a little bit on the telecast. And we want to ask you, obviously, the preparation for the Games, it was obviously a year longer than expected that you were going to be there. But, you spent, let's say, a fair bit of money, between $75,000 and $80,000, we're hearing, on your own skate park in your backyard. How much, and I also know, because luckily I know your coach, that you had another training facility indoors so that if it was raining, you could go there as well. So how much did that, just having those things at your disposal whenever you wanted, was that the end result of what you've got now, or is basically everybody in that competition got a very similar sort of setup that you were able to access?
No, so I purely built my skate park in the backyard because there was no training facilities in the area. You know, there was an indoor skate park a few years ago that had closed down. So I was, you know, I was just riding local skate parks. And as we were closing into the Olympics, the progression of freestyle BMX was increasing significantly. So I knew if I wanted to keep up with that level and make it to the Olympics, I had to, you know, train at a proper skate park, train at a proper facility, whether that was move overseas or build one, essentially. So I did that in the middle of 2019. I built the skate park, which initially was about $70,000. And then in the middle of last year, so pretty much a year later after I built it, we added some more ramps, which was an extra $15,000. So I've spent about $85,000, maybe $90,000 with a bit of maintenance here and there on that skate park. And then, yeah, also towards the end of last year, we got an indoor skate park built for us, you know, which was only 15 minutes from me. So if the weather was bad, then, you know, we could go indoors and still train, which worked out amazing. We also had a foam pit, so I could, you know, practice and learn some new tricks in there as well. And then about 2 months before the Olympics, we actually got a replica skate park built on the Gold Coast so I could practice in the lead up to Tokyo. So exactly the same
as what you had there, exactly the same as what was in Tokyo.
Yeah, with like small differences. You know, we got to build the skate park only based off looking at some pictures. So, you know, as close as we could get it, we got it. And yeah, it turned out pretty bang on, pretty similar.
Hey, Logan, I wanted to sort of delve in a little bit behind the eyeballs, so to speak. You know, again, when we talk about motor racing, we get a lot of feedback on our show. We get a lot of feedback through direct messages on our socials, all that kind of stuff, about who people have found motivating over the years from their motorsport mentors and people who they've looked up to. Not often we get people saying Stevie J, let's be honest, but you know. So from your perspective as a sports person, and perhaps in a sport that doesn't have a wide viewership, who are the sorts of people that you looked up to? Were they people in your sport, or were there people outside of your sport that you looked to for motivation as you've been coming through the ranks?
When I was younger, when I was sort of growing up, going through my teen years, I just looked up to some guys within my sport, and a main guy that I looked up to was Kyle Baldock, and he was a couple of years older than me, also living on the Gold Coast, but did quite well on the BMX scene as well. Went overseas and was doing quite well at X Games and all the big events. So I actually became good mates with him and sort of had him as a mentor, as I was coming through the ranks, and had him to learn off. And yeah, sort of just looked up to the people within the sport. And then when I got to, you know, a decent level and I was doing well at events, then I was just focusing on just doing my best and becoming my best on the bike and off the bike as well. But just putting in work all around throughout my life, just where I think I could progress. When I was growing up, it was just guys within the sport for sure.
So when you get to the point where you're doing all of the tricks that the guys that you looked up to in your sport with ease, how do you then go, right, I'm going to take it to the next level and try, you know, a double flare like you've put up on your social media, that sort of stuff? How do you end up going, right, I'm going to push it a bit further and try to start executing something like that?
Over time, I guess you just, but for me personally, I just learned to understand my own ability, what I was actually capable of, when I could actually start pushing some boundaries and you know, combining new tricks together. Because essentially that's all you're doing when you're learning a new trick. You're just adding a new combination together. There's sort of already, all the tricks have already been established, I suppose, and now it's just adding different combinations together, spin, like an extra rotation or an extra tail whip or, you know, some like that. So it's an extra combination. You just understand your own ability. Obviously it comes with risk, but, you know, someone that's just starting out is not going to try, you know, my hardest trick on their first day, essentially. You do adapt over time and you start to understand, you know, where you can push the boundaries.
And what do you say to some of these wowsers out there that reckon that, you know, sports like yours and skateboarding shouldn't be part of the Olympics? Is that a question that you've had to address in the last couple of years during your training, or is that something you pretty well ignore?
I mean, I didn't really hear too much of it, like throughout the journey to the Olympics. I've definitely seen some comments like post Olympics saying that BMX isn't a sport or it shouldn't be there. And I mean, you know, they have no, I guess, valid reason why. They just don't understand what it is, I suppose. But I mean, it's you know, it's just people sitting behind a keyboard. It's not anything I take notice of. There's hate in any sport. There's hate everywhere in every aspect of life, and you just sort of shrug it off and keep doing what you do. I suppose that's what I do anyway. Just,
well, don't we know? Yeah, we get it all. Well,
a lot of that hate stems from jealousy to start with. You know, I think personally.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And so, where to from here? Where to from now? What are we? What's the plan from here once you get out of lockdown in Darwin? Back to Queensland, celebrate with the family, and then what's the next step for you?
Yeah, so back home after this, I'll probably take a little holiday just with my family somewhere in Australia, whether it be close to home or a small flight or something. So I'll just chill out with my family for a few days, and then pretty much just back to it. I enjoy riding my bike. I enjoy working towards events, and then I mean, next year there should be some more events. If there's still hotel quarantine, I'll probably move overseas because I can't do too much more hotel quarantine. So if Australia doesn't change things up, then I'll have to look at some other options. But definitely looking to travel more and ride more events, get back to X Games and the World Series and World Championships next year. And then, work towards Paris. I do want to get to Paris. I've still got a good few years left in me, I think. So, that'll be the main goal, is getting to Paris Olympics.
Hey, mate, just quickly before we go, Matty, you wouldn't be on top of all this. When Logan was building his ramps and his little mini skate park in his backyard, the neighbourhood, some of the neighbours weren't that complimentary of it. And I sort of got a bit of a lowdown on what was going on because of Wade, who is the Australian coach for BMX and freestyle BMX. And there was Facebook pages, there was people going to council, there was a whole lot trying to shut him down. Now that you've got the gold medal, mate, are those people going to be invited over for the big bash when you're home with all the other neighbours?
I mean, they definitely didn't enjoy it at the start. I think they just sort of jumped to conclusions. It was going to be like a big party house and, there was going to be hundreds of people over every day and just, making heaps of noise and stuff. So they weren't into it at the start. They did complain a lot. They sort of mellowed out over the, next few months. And, I don't know. There's no hard feelings there. I get it. They didn't want to see it, but I did it for my own benefit. And I mean, I bought the property, so I didn't see why it was an issue. But I mean, if they want to come around and congratulate me, they can do that. I mean, no hard
feelings. When you get home, I am looking forward to the for the double flare with a pool finish, because I have. You don't realise Logan's pool's right next to his skate ramps. And I might have been driving past one day and I definitely saw some sort of a pretty crazy trick landing straight into his pool. So I want to see some more of them. Thanks, mate. They were cool.
Yeah, I haven't jumped from the skate park into the pool, but my mate definitely has.
If you get Stevie J over there and you feed him half a dozen sausages and 15 Jim Beams, he'll give it a crack.
15 Jim Beams.
Just make sure your bike's got a sturdy frame.
You won't have much water in that pool afterwards.
Be like Shamu the whale re-entering. Oh, jeez. First drive-by for the evening, folks. McKeldin gets one through.
Okay, no, honestly, seriously, well done. Thanks so much for taking time out to come on the show. And we're just pumped to see you over there. First time, Australian winning the freestyle BMX at the Olympics. I think can't be anything cooler than that.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Thanks heaps for having me on. And I'm definitely stoked I could go and represent Australia at the Olympics and bring home a gold medal. So I appreciate it all.
Three more years, you can back it up again in Paris, mate. But thanks for joining us on the driver's seat.
Cheers. Thanks, guys.
Logan Martin there joining us on the driver's seat. How good was that, boys?
So cool. So cool, Matty.
Yeah,
something different for the show too. You know, not motorsport related, I guess, but it's just it's an elite athlete in a sport, and we love seeing that. So I think that I'm very proud of what all the Australians have done over at the Tokyo Olympics this year, and you know, I can't wait to see what happens in. It's only 3 years now, so I might be under 50 by then. I don't know.
There's no way you're under 50 in three years, mate.
100%.
Oh, righto. No, I think, and I use this term very, very loosely, as athletes in a sport, I think we should all, we all stand in awe of other athletes when they achieve the way they have and what they've done. And to be in such difficult circumstances and in training, and then he came through and won, and we love that.
Logan Martin was our feature interview. Thanks to Ryko Filters. Ask Your Mechanic for Ryko Filters, the professional choice. I really wish I could have played some highlights because they were really, really cool. But, hey, look, we don't really have that big of a checkbook here at the driver's seat.
No. I know. It's just...
Not Channel 7 sized anyway.
Yeah, no, not definitely Channel 7 not. Sized. It is disappointing, isn't it? But I get it.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.